have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Greetings, my good people. Charles McCutcheon. Good day, everybody. Charles McCutcheon here. I want to welcome you to Charles's Corner. This is Charles McCutcheon, your favorite entrepreneur. And today, I'm at a loss for words. How about that? I'm at a loss for words because I don't know what to talk about today. But, no, for those who are just now tuning in, who never heard me speak before, this channel is based upon financial empowerment, financial wealth, financial health, basically putting everything into a mixing bowl from nonprofit to real estate to funding to everything you really could think of that we would need for our business and our lives to move forward. So I talk about different current events as well. And today, I'm just going to just stop. I'm not going to talk about anything. No. I wouldn't do y'all like that. So what I wanted to talk about, this is June. We're into July, and we're over halfway throughout the year. So I think everybody needs to take an inventory of where they are to go to the next plateau. And the next plateau is, you know, going into 2022 and having some momentum to go into 2022, really. So with that, I say, I hope y'all can't hear all the wind. I'm outside really right now. So with that, I say, as I always speak on these shows that I do, it's more about having a mentor, having a plan. And I do see people that they kind of have their own plan. And my thought process to that is, if you already knew what you thought you knew, you'd already be where you wanted to be. So how can you make your own plan up? You know, you can make up your own plan to a certain extent. Then you give it to that person that's that expert in that field. And that's what I do in my world with my different mentors that I have. In my book of business, for every industry, I have a mentor to help me out to move forward. So everybody should have a couple of mentors, depending on what you're doing. And hopefully it's somebody that's already been there, done that in your arena. Not somebody that may look good on social media, but somebody that has done something in your field. And what I would do is, if I was you, I would start at YouTube. You know, there's one place you can start. You go to YouTube and you find those people that resonate with you, and you follow them. I know I follow some people for like a year. And after that year, you know, they may have had an event. Now, you know, we can go back to having events. So they may have had an event, and I showed up to the event. I may not have purchased anything, but I still showed up. And as I went along, I saw that they were still doing what I thought they were doing, but then I started going to more of their events or going to people they may have recommended, and then I took some of their courses and their classes, and, you know, some of them became my mentors along the journey, and so that's how I did my journey. And then what I would do is, as I receive my, I'm going to kind of go back and kind of help you understand how I started, because a lot of people look at me and say, "Well, Charles, you doing too much." And I'm like, when you look at Shaquille O'Neal and he got over 100 stores or something like that, you know, he got all these, they got all these different businesses, and Jordan got all these businesses. And I look at all these people who have all these different businesses, but they not doing too much. But when, you know, you come around people who really probably not moving like you moving, they'll tell you you're doing too much. Don't listen to those people. Just keep moving, you know, because obviously they're on the outside looking in, like a lot of people are, and a lot of people should be on the outside looking in, unless you're going to sit there and tell everybody your business. So I just do what I do, and, you know, people come to me and say, man, you're doing a lot, or you're doing too much, or so what I started out doing is credit. That was my first thing that I started doing was credit, and I started it because I owed about $3,000, and I think I had to be probably 19 years old, maybe, I don't know. And I just remember feeling like it was the end of the world because I was in so much debt. So I had $3,000 in debt, and I don't even think I had a credit card at that time. But what I did is I went to started looking around for people to help me out with my credit, but nobody would help me. And then I went to this company. This company told me if I would pay them $3,500, then they would help me to fix my credit. And I was $3,000 in debt. I ain't have nothing anyway. I didn't own nothing. So I was like, if I had $3,500, I would just pay the $3,000 off. That's all I was worried about. I wasn't worried about a FICO score or anything like that. I didn't really know too much about it back in the day. And then nobody would help me. So what I did is I started getting into the books myself, started reading and learning, and then I started sending letters to Equifax and Experian and TransUnion. And I would be doing that every 30 to 45 days. I'm sending off a new letter saying, hey, can you delete this? And talking on the phone to these guys. And then it improved my credit score. So I was happy with that and started understanding more of how to, you know, not just spend money like that. And then, you know, that $3,000 started going down. I started doing the snowball effect. I used to listen to this lady named Susie Orman. I'm telling you, that was my hero right there. Susie was like, do this. Okay, now pay down this one. And then you take the money from that one and pay down the next one. And then you keep everything, you know, paying the bare minimum, everything else. And you put more money on this one so you can pay it down and then pay it off. And then the money that you were paying on that bill, you take it to the next bill. And that's how I started paying off on myself. And I was like, this thing is working. So I was happy about that. Then I'm sitting there. I had a one-bedroom that I went to a two-bedroom. At the time, I think I was 21, 22 years old. And I was at this event at the university. And this lady was like, well, she started talking about taxes and started talking about buying houses and finances and stuff. And I was like, that was interesting because nobody ever really set me down or talked to me about it. So I'm sitting there listening to her and her story. And as I'm listening, I'm just like, man, I need to do something different. And so my do something different was we had a meeting set up, and she started telling me about my place that I lived at and how I was paying more than I would if I had owned a home and just got a mortgage. And I didn't know anything about it. So I took her up on it, and we went down that road to understand how mortgages work and everything like that. And then I had got my first three-story townhome. And from there, that's when I was actually paying less in mortgage than I was in rent. And it was true on that one. Then she told me about equity. And I was like, well, what's equity? And she said, well, you already have equity in this property. So I know a couple of months went by. I don't really remember how many. But I went and I pulled out, if I can remember correctly, over $30,000, maybe around $34,000. And they literally gave it to me in a check. And I've never had that much money before. I'm probably 22 at the time. I never had $34,000, and I said, well, what can I do with it? They said, anything you want. I was like, what? And I remember this like yesterday, and I got to tell it is what it is. This is my story. At least a piece of my story. So what I did, I went to the bank, and I'm not going to say the bank name, but I went to the bank, and I had on jogging pants and a t-shirt. Literally, I don't know if it was a white t-shirt, but I know it was jogging pants and a t-shirt and some tennis shoes. So I went in there with the check, went to the teller, gave her the check. She sat there and looked at the check and looked at me and looked at the check and looked at me and looked at the check and looked at me. and she went to the back. So while she in the back room, she was back there for a little bit. I'm just standing there. Probably a couple minutes went by. I'm still standing there. And she comes out, and she's with her supervisor. So they're standing at the door looking at each other, looking at the check, and then looking at me. So that went on for a little bit. Then he comes over to talk to me, and he says, well, you know I can't let you take out any money from depositing this check. I said, well, I'm not trying to take out any money. I just want to deposit it. And he said, well, you know, it takes at least 10 days to clear if you want to get any money from this check. Well, I'm not trying to get the money. I just want to deposit the money, if that's okay. So he sits there and looks at me, looks at the check, looks at me. They got my ID card. I'm in the military at the time as well. So they got my ID. And they looking at everything. And I'm just like, well, you know. And so they finally put it in. And, you know, I really took 20,000 of that. Nope. It was 37,000 because I put in 20,000. I kept 17, and 20,000 was going to be, it was used to buy another house because they said I was the same lady. She said that I was an investor at the point because it wasn't my primary residence. I was like, all right. So I put $20,000 down. And I know I blew the 17, I'm sure, on something. I'm 22 years old. I'm sure I blew it. But then I had another house, and so now I'm into the rental business, you know. So I have my little rental. The three-story townhome was literally my cash cow. I would be taking out, like, 37 here and another 20 there. So that's kind of how I was doing, and I was using the money to do real estate and do other things as well. But that house started paying off for me because I had renters, and the renters would help to pay that mortgage and a piece of my other mortgage. And so that's how I didn't have to pay a lot of bills when I was coming up, to where you start getting more rentals and they start paying more bills. And so you start adding more bills to what can be paid from that particular rental. So that's how I learned how to do real estate to start out, really. And so I went from credit to real estate, and then I went to the nonprofit. So I met my mentor, and I didn't know much about nonprofits, but, you know, he started telling me about it. And I think at the same time, I was still trying to understand government contracts, and I was writing books at the same time. I wasn't publishing any. I was just writing. And it wasn't really a book at the time. It was more of me writing down the steps to understanding how to do real estate, how to do credit. That's what I was doing. And so that's why I have people say, hey, I want your book. And I'm like, well, which one? Matter of fact, I got to hit some people up for a book I'm supposed to have out right now. But I got like 14 books. A lot of them haven't even been published yet. And it's part of my journey that I'm doing right now. And y'all already get to hear about it. And you're going to be able to see it and everything like that. But as I go along this journey, I started, you know, writing more books. Then I started with the nonprofit piece. I didn't know what I was going to do in the nonprofit end. And I'm a veteran, served in the United States Navy. I did the enlisted side and the officer side, so I saw a little bit of everything. And at the point in time when I was doing it, I just put together the nonprofit for the veterans. Because I saw how I was done when I transitioned out of the military, and it wasn't good. And if I wasn't the person that I was, I would probably be in some homeless shelter or something.